When statisticians give economic growth figures a nice massage.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve are meeting to figure out when the economy will be strong enough to justify a little less stimulus from all its buying of bonds. Tomorrow, they will be helped by the latest official calculation of economic growth, a number that's just been in for an overhaul, something our Tuesday analyst Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis has been tracking. Morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
Gross domestic product. We're going to get a reading tomorrow, but the government is doing one of its periodic revisions, but more than that, a big revision as well.
First of all, the Fed meeting tomorrow is going to, again, try to prepare the markets for tapering here. The gross domestic product has been a big drag from higher taxes, but right now we're going to be seeing it move on ahead better than expected simply because you're changing how you account for pensions. A bigger economy means higher growth. That means the Fed will be able to cut back on tapering. So the timing of this disclosure and the timing of changing the accounting methods is going to show us nominally higher growth than anybody was expecting, thus validating the Fed's move.
I want to understand this. So GDP could end up looking higher because of the change in methodology that could still be used as a justification for a little less stimulus on the part of the Fed.
Exactly. So we're just basically taking the same data, massaging it a little bit differently and saying, oh, we're really growing faster than we thought we were. Miracles do happen in the financial markets.
So help me handicap this. Whatever the revised number is tomorrow, what, should we lop a little off the top?
The initial numbers are going to be a little bit slower, but what we're also looking at is a change in GDP measurement that will goose it back up again. So weak second quarter, but they're going to make third quarter look a heck of a lot better because of the accounting changes.
Julie Neiman, analyst Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis, thank you very much.
You bet.
It's believed to have cost electricity customers in California and the Midwest millions of dollars. There's news this morning that J.P. Morgan Chase will pay $410 million to settle allegations it abusively manipulated power markets. The figure represents $285 million in penalties and $125 million that regulators want the bank to disgorge. Morgan had a history of fighting hard against regulators, but experts say the settlement represents a new, more cooperative posture. The U.S.-based advocacy group China Labor Watch has a new report that accuses a Taiwanese company that supplies Apple of violating a range of labor laws, including underpaying people. Apple has promised to investigate, but at least one allegation in the report has a question mark, as Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
The report says three factories in Shanghai run by Apple supplier Pegatron totaled 36 legal violations. They included excessive overtime, insufficient training, and underage workers. Shanghai-based author and Bloomberg columnist Adam Minter has visited more than 100 Chinese factories. He says the mainstream media haven't bothered to take a critical look at this report.
The most glaring example in this report was a section header labeled child labor and underage employees. But nowhere in the report does it actually point to child labor occurring in this factory.
We did not find direct evidence of child labor as defined in China as under 16.
That's Kevin Slayton, spokesman for China Labor Watch. He says the report did find workers between 16 and 18 did not receive special protection at Pegatron as required by Chinese law. But he nor the report failed to give any examples.
What we're really trying to highlight in this report, Apple is a leader, and we hope that they can sort of meet the standards that they profess.
Those standards are under investigation by the Fair Labor Association, an auditor that Apple brought on last year. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
New York's Mayor Bloomberg, the caped crusader of public health. Now it's elevators. The mayor is nudging architects to design buildings that encourage people to take the stairs. But does active design, as it's called, make business sense? Stan Alcorn reports.
New York City's Department of Design and Construction is on the fourth floor of a building in Queens. To get there,
look through here, go to your left to see the elevators.
The lobby attendant sends you to the elevators. But director David Burney takes the stairs and wants to change the city's architecture to get more New Yorkers to do the same.
Because we design our built environment, making it easier to take the elevator, easier to take the escalator, becoming more and more sedentary. And there are things we can do to reverse that.
Things the city calls active design, like bike lanes and wider sidewalks to encourage walking. For new buildings, Mayor Bloomberg wants to require more visible, attractive stairways and signs that suggest burning calories instead of electricity. For a new eight-story apartment building in the Bronx, developer Les Bluestone is putting active design into practice.
So if you walk in the building, the first thing you notice is you don't see the elevator.
Instead, you see a glass door leading to an extra-wide stairwell. And when you start climbing...
As you can hear, we have music in the stairs. We've taken it out of the elevator and put it in the stairs.
He also slowed down the elevators. It's too early to judge, but Bluestone expects healthier tenants will have fewer medical bills and an easier time paying the rent. The active design amenities only added 1% to his budget, so he says encouraging exercise is a business no-brainer. How does the biggest elevator company feel about that?
Fundamentally, I mean, we agree.
Daryl Marvin is the director of innovation for the Otis Elevator Company.
It makes a lot of sense to take the stairs if you can. At the same time, there's lots of times where that's not a practical solution.
Like when you're headed above the fourth floor. Marvin's company put elevators in the Empire State Building and Dubai's half-mile-high Burj Khalifa, the kind of mega high-rises where even the most enticing stairs will be a tall order. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And an enormous amount of America's natural gas bounty is going up in smoke. Storage and pipelines in North Dakota can't handle the glut, and a third of the gas, worth $100 million a month, is just being burned off. Ceres, a nonprofit that tracks the environmental records of companies, wants energy firms to invest more to capture more of the gas that they're tapping. The gas flares are so intense that astronauts can see them from space. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.